All right, let's get it. We move into our second of 3 hours. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Needs to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family. Rocket can. So let me tell you about the rest of the program. Coming up in the third hour, I've got a guard for the Houston Cougars, Kyler Edwards. Also in hour number three, a safety for the LA Rams, Terrell Burgess. And in the third hour, Alvy's Ionic Week that was, which is always awesome. I've got the ATP. And I've got open phones. You could still get through. But you know what I'm going to start the second hour with. It is time. Here we are. Here the bleep we are. The divisional round.
Here we are. Here the f*** we are.
It's time. Let's get it. Big head bets. You may have missed it last week, which if you did, that's on you, not me. I told you where to find it. We took it online, offline, put it in the podcast. Because it was a blowout Super Wild Card weekend. Now it's back for where it normally is found. Right here on the program on Fridays. Starring the big head himself, James Kelly. First of all, head, how you living?
Well, better than loaf. You, Jim?
Why did I know you were going to go there?
I heard you was a Cowboy fan, too. But I guess the upside of that is no more Mike McCarthy product, huh?
Are you done?
I'm done. I'm good. I'm living great, Jim. Thank you.
Let me ask you something. Are you having fun?
I
because
am,
I'm not. I'm not. Stick to the script. All right. So the big head, James Kelly. I would say you never know what you're going to get, but you know exactly what you're going to get from this guy. Secondly, head, why don't you remind the clones how you did last week when you did what I pay you to do, namely, come on, do your job, and pick games. How did you do last weekend?
5-1, Jim. 5-1 against the spread. We made a lot of money last weekend. It was fantastic.
That is fantastic. 5-1 against the spread, all right? This isn't punk. This isn't some, oh, yeah, we'll just pick them straight up. 5-1 against the spread is really good. All right, now the good news is this weekend head is incredible. It's unbelievable. And I really feel like I can make a good argument for any of the 8 remaining teams to advance. The bad news is, at least from a gambling standpoint, I really feel like I can make an argument for any of the 8 teams to advance or at least beat the spread. That's how tough this weekend is. Is there one game? For me anyway, there's not one game where I could say, that's the one, no brainer, I feel great about it. I'm going to hit that one hard. Is that how you see it? Or maybe do you see one or two opportunities that you feel more strongly about than the rest?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if any team won this weekend. I still honestly think that 5 of these teams left of the 8 could win the Super Bowl, and all 8 could actually probably, if everything falls right, make the Super Bowl. So every single game is absolutely tough, yes.
All right, so no, I'm not trying to set this up to cover our own ass. I'm trying to set this up to say that it's going to be a really awesome competitive weekend. Let's do it, head.
Hell yes.
Bengals v. Titans, Saturday on CBS. Let me set you up for this. The Bengals are a great story. It's unbelievable that they got here. Well, unbelievable to everybody except the guy who got them here, Joe Burrow. I think I've made it pretty clear. And if I haven't done so already, let me do it again right now. This is a big Joe Burrow house. I love this guy. I think he's a really different dude. I think he's a special dude. He's a dude. You need these types of dudes to win playoff games. And he's right when he says there is a new standard in the Natty. Now, that said, I think they're in tough Saturday. The Titans are rested. They're getting healthy, i.e., they will have the king, Derrick Henry, back, and they're at home. Head, what is the number? What is your pick?
The line is Titans minus 3.5 right now. I'll go Natty and take the points here, Jim. The biggest concern for the Bengals is stopping that Titans running game that you were just talking about, whether it's King Henry or Foreman or whoever. The Bengals, though, rank 5th against the run, so that sets up good. But the past month, they've been slipping, and that defensive line has busted up after the wild card. They have to find a way to make the worst passing team left in the playoffs beat them. I'm all about Cool Joe here, man. Like you said, can they protect him? He was sacked 51 times this year, the most in the NFL, and the Titans' front 7 is physical, healthier, and they get after the quarterback. If the Bengals can keep Burrow upright and give him time, I think he could expose those Titans corners. Since he was first in the NFL in yards per attempt, and the Titans give up the big play. Also, against the spread numbers, the Bengals are good in this spot. They're actually great in this spot. They went 4-1 as an away dog, hitting on 80% of those games against the spread. Let's go with Cool Joe Burrow, Cincy plus 3.5.
Look at the head. Cincy plus 3.5. Don't you slaps come in here and criticize him for going chalk. Wow. All right. So already I'm a little surprised. A little bit, but not really. Here's my pick. I said it yesterday. I have been calling the Browns America's team for a couple of years now. But right now, the Bengals are Ohio's team. There is so much to like about these guys. I just like the Titans a little more tomorrow at home coming off the bye. I have no idea what to expect from Derrick Henry. I'm not going to say they're going to give it to the guy 20 times and tell him to go out there and win the game for them. But would it surprise anybody at all if he did? He's that much of a freak. Bottom line, they locked up that one seed without Henry. They win without Henry. It says here, if they can win without him, they can win with him. Because more often than not, the Titans are a team that just finds a way. That is not a pick against the Bengals. It's a pick for the Titans. Already the head and eye are on opposite ends. Second game, Saturday. Niners traveling to Green Bay to deal with the Packers. Same as the Bengals. While the Niners do not have decades of futility like the Bengals do, head, as banged up as they are, they did show me a hell of a lot to get there. Beating Dallas in their house does count for something. I'm not sure how much that counts for, given the fact that everybody knew that Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys would implode when it mattered most, and they did, right on cue, set your clock to it. Green Bay, while flawed, is not going to give them this game. The Niners are going to have to rip it from them, and they're going to have to travel too and play in some brutal elements to do it, head. As much as I respect the Niners, the Packers are just better. The question is, are they 5.5 points better? What are you doing with this game, head?
I'm going to say yes, they are. I'm going to take Green Bay and lay the points here, Jim. Look, as much pressure as there is on Matthew Stafford this week, and I think there's as much or even more on Matt LaFleur to win this game. He has to beat Lobster Jr. and get by the San Francisco 49ers. His biggest issues here outside of his ass special teams is slowing down the 49ers' run game. Football Outsiders has Green Bay ranked 28th in their run metric. Not good. Kenny Clark and his guys have to minimize the damage, and maybe Rodgers and the Packers O can help out by getting ahead here. Of course, the QB matchup is the biggest difference in this game. The 49ers can get after the quarterback, but they don't create a lot of turnovers on the back end, and Rodgers doesn't throw interceptions. Jimmy G does, and when he does, the 49ers are 3-6 on the year as opposed to 7-0 when he doesn't. I'm going with the team who has covered on 85% of their games in this role. That role is a home favorite, and I'm going with the GOAT at QB covering in that nut-numbing weather and minus 5.5 Packers.
Nut-numbing weather.
Ooh, cold.
Okay, you used your one nut-numb reference allowable. You used your one ass reference allowable. Know your room. Green Bay minus 5.5. All right, my pick, I like the Niners. I like them a lot. I just don't like them more than I like Aaron Rodgers at home, coming off a bye. The Niners did do them a couple of years back in the postseason, and there's no way Rodgers, given what's at stake for this season and his legacy, no way he's going to let them come into his house and do them again, just as there's no way Jimmy Garoppolo is going to beat the soon-to-be back-to-back MVP in his house in the playoffs. I understand it's not Garoppolo v. Rodgers, it's Niners v. Packers. I just do not see a scenario where Garoppolo gets over on Aaron Rodgers. Not tomorrow. I love Green Bay here. Only question to me is, do they cover? I say yes. Temps are going to be in the single digits or worse tomorrow in Green Bay. I don't think the Niners want any of that. That's cold, right? That is like butthole pucker cold.
Butthole blast.
There you go. All right, so you and I are on the same page on that one. All right, Sunday. Head, let's move on to Sunday. Rams v. Bucks. Love that game. I would say the Rams are playing their best ball and hitting their stride when it matters most after wrecking the Cards. But per usual, the question is, are the Rams that good or was Arizona that bad? And per usual, head, the answer is yes. The Rams are playing great ball and the Cards puked all over themselves. Yes, we did learn some things about the Rams in that beatdown, but they beat down a team that looked like it had no business being in the postseason at all. but we learned even less about the Bucks, who beat a team that belonged in the playoffs, even less than the Cards, the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Normally, Head, I would say that more football is a good thing, not last weekend. There was nothing super about Super Wild Card Weekend other than it was super crappy. But that was then. This is now. The real matchup. Here it is. Rams, Bucks. What is your number? Who you got?
The number I got is the Rams +3. If you want it, I'll take it, Jim. I think Tom Brady will adjust to his banged-up line by getting rid of the ball fast and relying on Leonard Fournette, who looks like he will play, but I still think that L.A. front four harasses that old man. They pressured him 16 times with a healthy Tristan Wirfs and Ryan Jensen in Week 3 without Von Miller, and neither of those guys will be their typical selves Sunday.
Good point,
Head.
Good point, Head. And Von Miller's playing well, too.
He's playing great right now. So as far as the Rams' offense, Stafford actually matches up okay against these guys. Nobody blitzes more than Todd Bowles, and statistically this season, nobody was better against the blitz than Cheeks himself. And when Fat Face hits triple triple digits ratings, his team wins games, Jim. He is 10-0 when he does that. I also think this is where Frozen Foot finally becomes the Bucks' death knell. You beat the Rams by attacking everyone outside of Jalen Ramsey, and with Ramsey on Mike Evans, I just don't think Tampa has the weapons against the spread. The numbers love the Bucks. They are 7-1 in their last 8 games as a home favorite. They are 4-0 in their last 4 playoff games against the spread, but I'm going against that. I'm going with the Rams in +3.
Wow, again, he's not going chalk. You're on fire today, Head. I like it. I like it. Some good info right there. Let me once again reiterate this point before I say which way I lean. Credit to Matthew Stafford for finally getting off the mat and winning that first playoff game.
Finally.
Nobody can take that from him, and I'm not going to try. But let's not act like dude is out of the woods. Let's not act like this dude is in the clear. The Rams went all bleeping in. They did not make all the moves they made to beat up on a wild card team and advance to the divisional round. They made the move for Stafford and Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr. to win the Super Bowl and to win it this year in their house. Yes, Stafford won. Yes, he did what they needed him to do, but they're going to need him to do more if they're going to beat the Bucks. I don't have supreme confidence that he will, but I do have confidence that the Rams can run it well enough, get enough pressure consistently on TB44, and grind out the win. Head, I'm on the same page as you.
Nice.
I like the Rams in this spot, and I like them with the points. I'm going to go Rams +3. All right, game of the weekend. Probably the game of the year. Bills v. Chiefs. The Bills smashed the Chiefs earlier this year, Head. We know that. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs are a much different team now than they were then. We know that. But so are the Bills, who just wrecked the Hood and the Pats. Not that anybody is confusing the Hood and the Pats with Andy Reid and the Chiefs right now. Mm-hmm. It's the thing, right? The Chiefs may not be the juggernaut they were when they won it all, but they still look a hell of a lot more dangerous and a lot more like that crew now than they did earlier. Mm-hmm. Incredible matchup. I can make as good of an argument for either side, which is why this one is 1.5 or 2, depending where you see it. What's the number you ended up with? What is your lean?
I see the 2 is what I got there. Look, man, for all the talk of Josh Allen's greatness last week, it's like people forgot about Patty Mahomes and what he did against Pittsburgh. He was historic himself. He threw for over 400 yards, 5 touchdowns, and completed more than 70% of his passes, Jim. I just wanted to point that out, actually, because I'm still going against the Chiefs. I'm going Mafia here and taking the +2.
No, man. You are not, Head.
Yes, I am. I'm going Bills Mafia. I should have took them last week. I made a mistake here. Both teams have explosive offenses, obviously. We all know that. But a small advantage, I think, will be Allen and Devin Singletary in the run game for the Bills. And on defense, credit to KC for improving there. But the Bills' D is better, and that's the difference. I don't think they are the best in the NFL like Football Outsiders has them, but the pass D is their strength. That's what you want to do against KC, and they are the best team in the NFL on third down, and they're better than KC's D in the red zone. They also have the best pressure rate in the NFL, and that will be massive again this weekend, considering they won't bring extra guys probably like they did against Mahomes in Week 5. Tre'Davious White does scare the hell out of me, but I'm a believer in Buffalo. I started believing in them against Tampa Bay earlier in this season. They're a touch better. I'll take the +2 points. Let's go Mafia.
I'm shocked. I did not think that you would do that, but I'm going the same way. Obviously, yes. If you heard the show open, I'm definitely taking the Bills. I'm going to ride with the Bills. They're on an absolute heater. Josh Allen is locked in. At the same time, he does not need to go Superman. He does not need to do it all by himself. He can, but he doesn't need to because the Bills can now run it, and they have committed to running it. I think that defense is flying around. I think they're playing with a huge chip on their shoulder, as is the offense and the coaches, for the reasons I mentioned. Not only did they lose last year, but McDermott did get fired by Andy Reid and replaced by an offensive coach. I think they're going to get it done. I think they're ready. I'm taking the Bills and the points. All right, so you and I are on the same page on three of these games. Before I let you go, we have ourselves a fister up the road from us in Cali, UFC 270. Not just a fister head, but a heavyweight fister. One of the best matchups ever. Francis Ngannou, arguably the most powerful knockout artist in the sport, maybe ever, going up against the interim champ who carries nearly as much punching power, but in my mind, superior striking ability. Ngannou. Dude, it's an all-timer. I know you love the value. I know you can get it and the champ if you want it. This is how good the interim champ is. The interim champ is favored over the guy. Who do you like here?
That's the jacked up thing, because for the most of the time, up until the last couple days, Gon was actually the underdog, and now the money is flipped, so it's the other way around what you just said. Gon is now minus 150 and the champ is plus 123. This fight is pretty easy to preview, actually. It's gone, and if he can go 25 minutes or not of not getting his head knocked off by that monster, the scariest dude in the history of MMA, and I think he will, Jim. I'm going with Gon here. He's a better technical fighter, and because he does have a history of doing well against power punchers, I'm going with him minus 150 to beat Francis Ngannou.
All right, so let me check something really quick, because I will say for the record, no allegedly, no reportedly. Mm-hmm. I'll get down on MMA. I did hit that. I want to see what number I got real quick. Probably I should have done that before.
I should have done it on Monday when I wanted
to. Okay, I
want to
go back to that point in a minute also. Yeah. Like, because you and I go back and forth on, do we hit it early in the week, whatever it is, if I were to play the games, do I hit them earlier in the week or do we wait until right before? What's your philosophy on that? Like, you want to wait as long as you can to get as much information as you can, but it hurts you in this case.
Yeah, so MMA, it hurt me here. I haven't really seen a fight like this, especially with Ngannou, because I thought, I mean, he just finished Miocic, the perceived greatest heavyweight of all time.
Destroyed him.
He destroyed him. So I thought I would get gone all along, because I saw him fight against Lewis the last time. I've seen all of his fights, but I'm like, oh man, this guy could actually beat Francis. But I thought he'd be somewhere, you know, almost 200, plus 175.
He was though. Confident. He was though at the start of the week.
Yes.
All right. So what did you get? Minus 150?
Minus 150. Yep.
I got minus 152. All right. I went there too. All right. So you and I are on the same page on everything except the Bengals and Titans. If they're joining us late, and you'll retweet this in a minute, run down very quickly. Who do you have this weekend?
I'm going with the underdogs this weekend. Bengals, +3.5. Rams, +3. Mafia, +2. Packers, -5.5. The only favorite I'm taking there. And then I'm going to take Gon, minus 150 to beat.
All right, like I said, I am with you on every single one. I'm a half point off on some of these things, but I'm with you on every single one except the Bengals and the Titans. And Natty, don't hate on me. It's not a pick against you. It's a pick for the Titans. Head. Mm-hmm. Awesome job. A super fat segment. Put it up on Twitter. I'll make sure to retweet that.
All right, Jim. Thanks a lot, man.
The big head, James Kelly. Make some money. Look at us, man. Almost 20 minutes of gambling talk. I'm telling you, a lot of you, and you know, here's my advice once again. Do not participate or gamble funds that you cannot afford to lose. Understand what it is. But I would say, you know what? Dip your toe in there. Give it a shot. See if you enjoy it. It may not be your cup of tea. You might not like it. However, you might find that it makes watching these games even more interesting. I think that will be the case for most of you. So check it out. And again, if you don't like what we're saying, you think we're talking out our ass, fade us. Go right ahead. I challenge you to fade us. Because last week doing so would have got your butt kicked. If you went with the head last week, you got down and you got paid. He went 5-1 against the spread. 1-800-636-8686. Who you like, who you got. It makes it even more interesting if you ask me. When we come back, Remember, I've got two interviews in hour number three, and on top of that, I've got the week that was, I've got the ATP, lots to get done. In other words, this is your last chance. Call right now. I do want to reset my take on my interview with Steve Young because I thought he showed up in a huge way. That's part of the Jim Rohn podcast, so I'll have that for you. He had thoughts on the Cowboys and what happened at the end of that game and how much time you need. Remember, Mike McCarthy was selling so hard. 14 seconds is fine. 14 seconds is what you need. Steve Young had a different take on that. So I'll try to get to that next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rohn Show.
Been all over it this weekend on CBS, the NFL divisional round presented by Intuit. TurboTax Live gets underway Saturday, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. You got Joe Burrow, red hot Bengals head to Tennessee for a battle with the top seeded Titans. Sunday, 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific. You've got the rematch of the ages, Josh Allen and the Bills look unstoppable offensively. But then again, so do Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Get set for both. Mahomes? With the NFL Today, the NFL Divisional Round presented by Intuit TurboTax Live. This weekend, only on CBS. How about I get you some quick reaction on what you just heard? Chris in Milwaukee. Jimmy, what's more egregious? The heads assault on the English language or Mike McCarthy's assault on time management? Again, when talking about the head, it's not about how he says it. It's about what he says. Yes, he's functionally illiterate, but he knows what he's talking about. You can't luck your way. I mean, you could, but 5-1 is 5-1 in the playoffs in a given weekend. So stop focusing on how he says it and focus more on exactly what he's saying. At Bill Deamer, Rome. You're right about the gambling making sports more fun. I have never been a sports bettor until they made it legal here in Arizona. I have fun doing it, but I'm sure the 2K profit that I've made in 4 months helps. Hell yes, it does. My question would be, if you lost that same 2K in 4 months, how much fun it would be? It's different. It really is different. It really is different. I've said it before. I want to repeat this one more time. For the longest time, before they legalized gambling, before legislation changed, I was very proud of the fact that I would say, I don't need action to enjoy it. It's sports. It's the best thing ever. I don't need action to enjoy it. And by the way, I don't. I still don't. But I'm going to tell you, it makes it a hell of a lot more interesting. And I can tell you this too. It changes the way you watch games. And there is some juice, and I'm not sure why it is. Even if you don't have a lot of money on it, and I really can't explain this, I have made enormous gambles financially on other things in my life. Racehorses, restaurants, vacation homes, real estate, and gotten my head handed to me. Some I've won, some I've lost. Some years, side hustles have made me a lot of money. Some years, side hustles have cost me a ton of money. The reason I make that point, I'm talking about a lot of money. Not to be a jerk, but relative to what I make, a lot of money. These games, fights, I'm not spending that much on. Yet, for some reason, I feel the juice. The juice. It doesn't take a lot, just enough. And believe me, it does change the way you watch it, and it changes the experience. And it might not be for you. It might be too stressful. Again, I go back to what Dana White famously told me not long ago on a podcast. He's like, I don't bet games. I do not bet games. I said, why not? He's like, I hate it. It's too stressful. I'm like, dude, you're super rich. Why is it too stressful? He's like, it just is. I don't enjoy it. It's not for everybody. But I'm saying, give it a shot. And do it with WinBet. And see what James Kelly and I are talking about. Because then come Monday, we can talk about it because we all experienced it. It's community. You're no longer that degenerate in the basement by yourself. We're all doing it together. We win together or we lose together or we win and you lose and we talk junk or you win and we lose and you talk junk. It's community. It's fun. SA Sports Honk. Damn, Jim. I love the Bills, but I don't think that I can take them over the Chiefs and put money on it. I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that. Sign Meatloaf. Damn. He almost hooked me. Hey, Ken. Still too soon. The loaf's not even out of the oven yet. Still too soon. Alvin. R.I.P., big dude. R.I.P., big dude. Personally, I didn't even know he was sick. And don't you idiots or ghouls come in here with, hey, Rome, are they going to put any of that sugary ketchup on his casket? Just shut up with that. This dude was beloved, man. He's the loaf. He was. Mr. Vanaford. Alvin, you're not helping me, dude. Mr. Vanaford Smackison the Fourth. A huge thank you for the jungle love for the Bills. Jordan Poyer last week, and it worked. Micah Hyde this week, and it will work. The karma is real. And it comes strong. Thanks again, Jimmy. Bill in the 905. Hey, don't forget, I was on Kim Pagula's podcast, too. I appeared on her podcast, and it worked. She's got a daughter who is a great tennis player who's on to the fourth round of the Australian Open. Pretty amazing. Hey, Jano, you now have a handle on Twitter, at Dodger Jano. Please remember to bring home milk after work. Great. Now we have a Jano parody account. In all the years I have been married to Dodger Jano, who only became Dodger Jano officially a few months ago, in all the years we've been married, nearly a quarter of a century, do you know how many times she has hit me up with, hey, honey, can you please bring home some milk on the way home from work? Guess. Not once. Never. She's never once asked me to bring home milk from work. Nor has she ever asked me to bring home the 42 from work. She doesn't have to. I just do. Let's go to the phones. The guy who set the tone for the day, the GOAT, the best to ever do it, the B.I.C., Brad and Corona. What's up, Brad?
Jimbo, how you doing, my friend?
Good, my man. What's going on? How are you? To what do I owe this great
honor? Oh, LeBron, I'm doing fantastic, Jimbo. Just amazing out here trying to stay alive. Listen, great segment that you just had with Big Head Bets right now. I got a quick follow-up prop bet. James Kelly is plus 3,000 on being able to correctly pronounce the word Bengals. Hey, Big Head, just because there's an E in the word doesn't mean you have to pronounce it. You got that, you penis. It's Bengals. Bang, bang, Bengals. Fix that before next week when you got to come back on the show and talk about how they're going to curb stomp the Bills up in Buffalo. And speaking of that, Jim, I actually have a beef with the way you opened the show today, talking about how great the Bills are. Who greenlit that take, Jim? Was it the same guy who wanted to do the tour stop in Buffalo back in 2020 that started the pandemic? Anyways, there's only one way to reverse the positive jungle karma you just gave Buffalo right now, and I'm here to do that. So Buffalo fans, Rick and Buffalo, listen closely. Hexy poo, I put a hex on you. That should do it. Jim, let me explain to you what's going to happen to the Bills if they get by the Chiefs this weekend. And it's the same thing that happens to Rick in Buffalo every year when he gets to the big show. Disappointing performance and a loss against some white trash dude from a town nobody's ever heard of. That's right, Jim. Three words. Joe freaking Burrow. Remember it. Super Bowl final. Bengals 36. Rams 21. Hey, listen, I actually do want to apologize for that tweet I sent out earlier this morning about Mama Cass and meatloaf and the ham sandwich. That's my bad. I'm sorry. I owe you better than that, and that's definitely not something I want to derail your show with. This is a sports show. I need to keep it classy, so I apologize. Hey, on a semi-related note, Jim, you know who was a huge Niners fan?
Talk to me.
Danny Tanner.
Ah!
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
This dude. Hexy poo, hexy poo. How do I rack a call that I just ran? Dude, you got to keep Danny Tanner out your mouth. The PIC, the best to ever do it. You just never know when he'll call. Except I could have predicted that. One, the loaf passed. Two, I hype Buffalo. Three, was a reason to go in on Rick and on Buffalo. You know what's pissing me off right now? Not Brad. Brad's the best. Brad is the GOAT. The legitimate GOAT. What's pissing me off is I'm showing straight bars and again my Wi-Fi crashed. Which means I've got to go with the phone to get online.
Donk, donk, donk.
Donk, donk, donk. Somebody put a hexy poo on my Wi-Fi. Nice job, Brad. I would have racked you, but I know you don't want to be racked or you wouldn't say and do things like that. But you did make it better. Mostly. Bradford. Hey, Rick, I know you already made your call this week and it was a great call. Do you feel like you want to respond to that or not? Just be careful, Buffalo. I know you. You are likes to fight town, which I respect. But none of you ever win a fight with Brad. Ever. When we return, I've got the two interviews at the top of hour number two, back or three, back to back. So do what he just did. Get in. Take advantage of it. 1-800-636-8686. I can't keep promoting the podcast I did with Steve Young and not do my take or my update or my recap. I'm doing that next no matter what. Stay tuned. Right now it's time for a sports...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So listen up, not all beef jerky is one and the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags that are so easy for you to grab and go, sample different flavors, find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Quickly. So episode 205 of the Jim Rome Show did drop earlier this week. And after the big head came through with that big week and he dropped some winning NFL wildcard picks, on that side hustle last week, we had to find a way to top free money. This time around, I think we did. If there's anything better than free money, Hall of Famer Steve Young stopped by. Steve Young, one of the best to ever sling it in the NFL, 3-time Super Bowl champ, and on the very short list of 2-time MVPs, also as effective off the field as on it, be it in front of a camera or in a boardroom. So I was fired up to get some quality time with him right in the middle of the postseason and even more fired up to track the episode because he did bring it. He brought it like we were talking about the Niners and Cowboys. He brought it like he was still in the middle of that rivalry because in a way he is. So that's where we started. He shared his thoughts on the ending that was unforgettable for the Cowboys for all the worst possible reasons. We covered it at length on this show, but I had to get Steve Young's thoughts of what was going through his mind when he watched the end of that game.
What led up to that call was a lot of misdeeds from Dak, from play calling, the 14 penalties. So all of a sudden you get there, and miraculously, because of the interception that Jimmy threw and then an overthrow, you have a shot. I mean, just like it's a miracle that you're even in the spot. And now you're at the 40. You got yourself there really smartly, I thought. Everybody knows, Jim, that's played, 17 seconds is the necessary cushion you need to run a play and then spike it. Anything less is on the edge. And so you have 14. okay, personally, I'm taking two shots at the end zone. They decided, no, we're going to run and try to get closer to get to one shot, maybe instead of the 40 or the 20. The problem is that with 14 seconds, everybody knows you're on the edge. And so not only that, to exacerbate the issue, when you end up with the ball in your hand in that kind of situation, everyone should know you have to get it to the referee because the ball cannot be put in play until he touches it. They didn't do that. They ran in as if they could start the play. He kept telling the offense, the center, take the ball, snap it. Like, then finally the umpire has to come through next to the center because he's trying to help him out. Like, usually he would go around. He's like, I got to go through here. I got to help him. Then he had to touch it. By then it was gone. And so to me, it was foible upon foible upon foible.
Good word, foible. Of course, I would expect that from somebody with a law degree. We moved on from that. I don't even need to comment. He nailed it. We moved on to an MVP conversation, a.k.a. Rodgers v. Brady. Steve Young's answer to the question, who should it be, was not what I expected.
I think you should give it to both of them. I really do. It's one of those things in honor of what they're doing for their teams, what they're doing for the league. I mean, think about it. 37 and 44-year-old guys are dominating the NFL today. Dominating the NFL today. You would have chuckled like that even harder if you would have said that 20 years ago. Like, what a chill. It's not happening. I just feel like if you don't give it to both of them, you're kind of doing a disservice to the award. I know you have to choose somebody. I'm okay with that. There have been co-MVPs in the past, but the problem is they got to figure out how to have the vote come up even. That's hard to do with the number of votes they have. They have to open the envelopes early or something. I don't know what they're going to do.
It's actually happened before. It's not unprecedented. So I said to him, like, Steve, what about the game itself right now? The way the game is played right now, you've got these two guys playing at a super high level at advanced stages of their careers. What do you make of that? And he said, I had a conversation with Tom Brady, and Brady told me being Steve Young, what it's like to play quarterback right now.
When I went pro, people say, what's the difference between college and the pros? And I would say, in college, every receiver's open. And in the pros, no one's open. That's how I described it.
Right.
Like, and I think Tom would agree with that kind of statement maybe 20 years ago. Today, because the game has become so much more college-like because of safety issues, rule changes, players and coaches have limited time together because of the CBA. You know, it's very college-like, spring ball and a summer camp. Because of that, the flats are open. That's what Tom said. The flats are open. You always have an outlet, always. The middle of the field is unpatrolled. It used to be, if you were in the middle of the field between the hashes, it was a place where nobody went unprepared and really without knowing exactly what they're doing. You just get yourself not only hurt, but you get yourself intercepted. You get all kinds of chaos happens inside there because safeties can't launch. They can't do the things they did before. And then the third thing he said was no one can hit you. You don't realize what that gives you as a sense of confidence that because no one's coming and they can take you out, it just changes their mentality, your mindset. And that's why the game is coming more and more to quarterbacks. And the guys that are experienced, like Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, these guys have been around a long time. They know that they can take advantage of those changes.
So did I say Steve Young was locked in for this? So I had to get his thoughts. You know, I made it pretty clear. I love Joe Burrow. I think he's unique. I think he's special. Face of the franchise. He's all those things. That's just me. I had to find out from a Hall of Famer who played the position. Steve, what do you think when you watch Joe Burrow?
There is really no ceiling right now for Joe Burrow. It's not going to happen overnight. Maybe it will. Maybe it'll happen next 3 weeks. But I get a feeling like Joe Burrow is the answer of many questions about what the Bengals have been through for 30, 40 years. And he can do maybe much better than even Matthew Stafford did for Detroit. Take a place that's been really, really difficult to be successful and turn it into one of the more successful franchises in the league in the next 10 years. That's the capability of Joe Burrow. And it's more than just throwing and playing quarterback. It's just who he is, I think, has the ability to really kind of transform the Bengals.
Steve Young, this is why I wanted to get to that. I wanted to blast right through that rapid fire. So that is live right now. If you're looking for something to do over the weekend, check out that podcast, Jim Rome Podcast, episode 205. Don't do it now. Look for it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, my Twitter and Instagram feeds. Anywhere you get your podcasts, it is premium. It is free. Check it out. Do not forget to check out the Side Hustle, to the Side Hustle as well, the Reinvention Project with Jim Rome. I'm going to lay another one down after the program today, but the latest episode is with Molly Bloom, the subject of the unbelievable movie Molly's Game. So, these things are tremendous. I'm really proud of both these podcasts. They are free to you. Make sure you check it out. In terms of the Reinvention Project, if you don't really understand that, or you're not sure you're into that, I get that. That's fine. But what I would suggest, do this for me. Check out episode number one. Check out episode number one of the Reinvention Project with Jim Rome, and then you will find out exactly where I'm going with that, what that's all about, why I do it, and I go into it in great detail. It's just me. It's me for like a half hour, just kind of going on about my life, my career, what's in my head right now, why I want to change, where I want to get better. Check that out. The Reinvention Project with Jim Rome. That's the side hustle to the side hustle. So we have multiple podcasts right now. And then I've got 30 plus episodes about that pod or on that pod that I think you'll like. Or I can just keep doing things like this. Tan Smack. Sad to hear about Meatloaf passing. But I deal with the repercussions of Meatloaf passing every single day. That's sad too. Outro. Matt in L.A.
Outro.
Hey, you pick your poison. You decide what you want. Do you want elevated conversations between me and Hall of Famers, me and best-selling authors and experts? Or do you want crap like Meatloaf passing, and I deal with that every single day, and that's sad? Outro.
Outro.
There's something for everybody, right? You just pick the platform. I've got something for everybody. Outro. You pick the platform. Kyler Edwards, a guard for the Houston Cougars, joins me when we come back. Terrell Burgess of the Rams after that.